Let's go ahead and get started this morning. So the text we've been working out of is James chapter number 1. And we'll be there just to start off again this morning, kind of reiterate our focus. And our overall theme is, you know, starting the year with a fresh perspective on your marriage. And today we're going to add to that. James chapter number 1. And we've been reading verse 19 through 21, but we're going to focus on verse 19 this morning. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. So let's take just a moment and kind of review some of the things. Why should we be swift to hear in our marriages? Why should we be swift to hear? Proverbs chapter number 18, verse number 13, an often misquoted verse, by the way. He that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is folly and a shame unto him. It is folly and a shame unto him. And there's a lot of great truth about, okay, we want to be really cautious when we get to the place where we're answering things before we know the whole of the matter. Now, in particular, this is referring to, it can be applied to many things, but I believe that kind of looking at a greater context of Solomon trying to give his son wisdom, and hey, when you know, as a king, you're going to be hearing these matters and everything, and you don't want to start to just get part of the story, right? This person comes in and says this, and then the other person hasn't had a chance to show up and explain things and this kind of thing. When that happens, right, you're in trouble. And so you want to make sure that before you open your mouth, and I've learned that as a leader big time. I have got myself in trouble, and it has been a shame unto me as a leader how I handled the situation because I didn't hear it fully. And I don't want to continue to do that. So I've got two scenarios here that I've kind of cooked up. And we're going to kind of look at the matter, okay? So, number one, wife asks her husband to take out the trash repeatedly throughout the night, but he does not. So what does she conclude about this? Ladies, what do you conclude about this?
He's ignoring her.
You're being ignored, right?
He doesn't care.
Huh?
Doesn't care.
Thank you. Doesn't care.
Not a priority,
right? And those, by the way, those thoughts don't live exclusively to themselves because they lead to the next thought, which is he doesn't care and it's not the priority because he only cares about himself. Because as much as she's seeing the trash not being taken out, she is seeing the other things he wants done being done. So that's a natural conclusion. So these kind of things kind of build. And by the way, it's never going to be one night of the trash. It's going to be this night of the trash, Tuesday night of that, Wednesday night of this, Thursday night of that, until finally a week, a month, a year, it bubbles over into something completely different. Now you got epic problems, and you're totally overreacting, but you don't realize it started, right? It's the little foxes that spoil the vineyard, the Bible says. And we have to be really careful. The Bible in the book of James talks about how great a fire that's kindled basically from just a few words, a little thing can cause huge problems. That's why I've chosen this, because it's such a small thing, right? Such a small thing. And here's the basics here, okay? So we got two things. We have what we do know and what we don't know, okay? What we do know is the trash has not been taken out. We know that you spoke words out loud, right? And Elizabeth brings a good point. At times, her husband has legitimate hearing problems from military service and different things. And then also, you do need to be aware of, hey, my feelings are currently hurt. It's super important not just to try to conclude a bunch of stuff. You got to know where you're at. Have you ever said, this is not the time for this, or this is the worst time for this? You ever said something like that? You know, it's super important that as spouses we're communicating those things. And a lot of times when it pops out, it's actually not in a helpful way, but in a helpful manner, our spouses need to know, right? Anytime it's like our dog barks, not all the time. She's not a barky dog. I'm so thankful for that. But if she hears someone coming through the fence or anything like that, she'll bark to let us know, which I really appreciate. But then the other thing is if she's in a dead sleep, and something stirs her and freaks her out, she will jump up and start barking a loud, mean bark, okay? Which, again, doesn't really bother me unless I'm trying to study or I'm thinking intently on something. So I'm sitting there and all of a sudden, rah, and I'm like, ah, and I just have this heart attack. And it's like, ah. It is the worst time for her to bark when I'm trying to think. And that's how life is. You know, we're going through life, and inevitably, as couples, something's going to happen at the worst time. I guarantee that is going to happen. And it may happen repeatedly at the worst time. And when we say, now listen, when we say it to our spouse, we don't want to say it in hostility. We want to say it to inform them so that they can help. Because, and this is a give and take, where they need to know when they say it to you, you're going to spring. And some of you guys already do. Some of the dads do such a great job. And, you know, I'm done with the kids. Hey, let me take the kids, right? Let me take the kids. We'll go hide somewhere else or whatever. You go here. And then wives. Wives do a great job. That's too. Honey, why don't, you know, I'll take the kids or we'll go do this and you go over here or go do this activity or whatever and just kind of help protect each other because we all know. Now, obviously, if you're using that every single day, right, you might be like, you might be using that a little too much, but we want to communicate it. So this is what we do know. Now, here's what we don't actually know. Did he even understand what you were saying? You'd be surprised how many times there's misunderstandings. I know sometimes it's not, but sometimes it really is, believe it or not. The other day, my wife asked me for something, and the way I heard, I thought she was saying she had already gotten something, but she was actually asking me for something. I was like, great. So she was like, are you going to get that? I was like, oh, I thought you said you had got it. She's like, no, I just asked you. I'm like, okay. So especially if you live with a Dan or a Michael, you definitely want to make sure they understand, right? I'm pretty sure Zoe picks up stuff quicker than I do. But what we don't know is, did they understand why they haven't done whatever? Now, I'm sure that there's times where there's, you know, just legitimately bad reasons for this. There's bad answers. But, you know, a lot of times there are actually good answers. Hey, I was doing that other thing that you had asked me to do. So, before you get super offended that I didn't do this thing you asked, I was busy doing all the other things you asked. So, once I get to it, I'll get to it type thing, right? Maybe that does not pacify your anger at all, but it should, okay? How does he feel? Sometimes, you know, again, this is so important. And hopefully we get to these answers before we get to question or asking about trash and stuff. It's super important that when we get back together, and this is traditionally, this may be different on you guys' schedule, but when we get back together in the early evening or wherever we've been apart, we need to establish that connection right away. Hey, where are you at? How are you feeling? Don't get into the activities of life and then have to explain, I feel like I'm getting a migraine. You got to let your spouse know ahead of time. The second you guys get back together, or even texting each other and say, hey, this is where I'm at. So that, because you may never even ask your spouse to take the trash out or whatever if you know that they're in a bad place or whatever else. And listen, if you've been married for any length of time, and I hope you've learned this rhythm of life. Now, this isn't always the case. This is not always. But I find in our marriage that God is so gracious, he always gives one of us strength. He always gives one of us strength. Sarah deals with so many repeated health problems, but I'm so thankful God gives me strength during those times. I don't clop around my house and, I can't believe I have to do this. No, this is a part of a relationship, right? She feels bad and I'm taking care of them. By the way, I know and have all the time, where I feel bad. And God gave Sarah strength and she's, hey, you lay down. I'm going to take care of this. I'm going to take care of that. And all these things. Not trying to take advantage of each other, but trying to take advantage of the blessing that God gave one of us strength. Because all of us know when both are down, trouble a brewing. Right? Kids are out smoking and drinking in the living room. You know, and dogs are chewing everything. I mean, it does not work. And so it's super, super important. And sometimes, I'm going to tell you this too, sometimes and this is just our experience, yours may be different, but sometimes the strength kind of needle can pass back and forth in the same day. It wasn't too long ago, I can't remember which of the order was, but Sarah wasn't feeling good. Oh, I'm going to help out. And then not too long later, man, I started feeling awful. I was getting the light sensitivity headaches and all that, all this kind of stuff. And so Sarah started feeling better. It was like two or three times in a day, we're back and forth just taking care of each other, taking care of the things that need to be done. So it's super important to, hey, how are you feeling? Where are you at? You know, is this even the right time for you to take out trash? Can, you know,
I'll call the neighbor, see if they can do it. Okay. And then both of me, kind of a similar thing. What are they feeling? What are they thinking? Where's their mind? Where are their emotions at with this thing?
And you just, here's one of my big points here. And this is so important. It's so important.
One of the things that happens,
and this is all of us, this is not some of us, we start to make conclusions about all of these things we don't know based on what we do know. And that's a huge mistake. We start to make conclusions about what we, based on what we don't know versus what we do know. They don't ever listen to me. Be careful. And I'm going to say this. One of the signs that you're losing your balance mentally and emotionally is when you start using blanket statements. They never listen to me. They never help me. They always do. As human beings, we rarely do the same things always. So when these statements creep in, we have to be real. Because remember, you're thinking this stuff about a person. I know people can change. I'm not saying that there aren't, and I'm not saying there aren't bad spouses out there, but typically they don't attend classes like this. The thing is that as a spouse, this person literally said, I've forsaken all others. I just want to give my whole life to you. Now, there may have been some things that changed your feeling about that along the way, but still, my whole point is to just say, to write a person off and say, this is Ichabod. Be careful with that, okay? Especially when it's based on stuff we really genuinely don't know. And it's so easy. When you get hurt feelings, it's that much harder to communicate, to ask these questions, and it's so much easier to just conclude. But we do not want to do that. We do not want to do that. And when you're going to try to get this information, please do it with the right spirit. Why is it the trash can? Did I not ask? Was it not clear? And then later when you replay the story, it's like, well, I asked. I didn't. Oh, okay, right. It's always funny how the replay of this, the version is a lot politer, you know, than the actual moment thereof. So be careful about that. Now, let's move on to our next scenario. Everybody gets a turn. Husband tells his wife that his love language is hugs, but she never seems to want to hug him. So what does he conclude? Okay, ladies, it's your turn now. What's he concluding?
You don't love him.
You don't love him? Okay, what else? Really? I gotta be the one to say it. His conclusion is, she doesn't like hugs. Is there anything else that he should conclude here, or what might conclude?
My needs aren't important.
Oh, this is good. My needs aren't important, right? I just want to say this. Balance is so important. Balance is so important. So his needs, according to him, of course, is hugs. By the way, science does back that. Okay, let's not pick on the boys. Is hugs, but hers is time together, quality time. And this is what happens, right? Get home, life's busy, all these things are happening. And then he shows up and says, hey, I'd like a hug. And it's like, okay, I know that's your need, but what about my needs? What about quality time? What about... Okay, so let's take a look at what we do know, what we don't know. Number one, it's the same thing, obviously, turned around here. Number one, we know he's not getting hugged. Number two, you spoke words out loud. And then, of course, your feelings are hurt. Or it's guys, it should be singular. Your feeling is hurt. Okay. Did she understand what you're saying? What we don't know, why isn't she hugging me? Probably because she's taking care of three kids and a whole bunch of other stuff. How does she feel? What do you think? One of the big guys, this is one of the worst things that we do. We just automatically conclude, well, she doesn't like hugs, right? Or you may conclude she doesn't find you attractive. So hugs are so often, or physical affection, I should say, is not only a chemically driven element in a man's life, and that does, just because it's chemically driven does not give you the right to demand anytime you want, right? But it's not only chemically driven, but it's also, and you got to own this, it is central to much of the male ego. It really, really is. For men, as an example of that, in men, when they lose hugging functionality, lack of a better phrase, you know, when you lose that, it affects men dramatically, emotionally and mentally. So here's my point. So guys, if we're concluding certain elements about our lives based on information we don't actually have, we can get ourselves in a lot of trouble. And women typically feel hurt. Men just get angry, right? Or, and this is my thing, you'll conclude, well, my wife doesn't like hugs, but I know somebody else who likes hugs. And where did it come from? It came from, well, I'm not getting any hugs from you. But that's not license. That's not liberty to seek it somewhere else. We need to get it. And the other thing is, I'm using, for time's sake, I'm using generic illustrations as best I can, but hopefully personal enough where you can apply them. And then also, I'm lumping it all together into a single event. These types of issues, genuinely deep issues, they don't work themselves out in one conversation. Now, sometimes it can, but typically that is not the case. It takes time. It takes a lot of work. There's a lot of layers to it, a lot of different things. But the tool that I'm offering to you of stopping and saying, hey, I want to be swift to hear. This is the big conclusion for today. I don't want to build my thinking, my conclusions off of information I legitimately do not have. That is so super dangerous in marriage. And you think, man, we've been married forever. We know each other. So I know this to be the case. Let me throw this out there. Just because your spouse has been a certain way in the past doesn't mean that they're still that way currently, right? How many people have ever changed your mind in marriage? Wow. So my wife and I were talking one time. Oh, now I remember what it was. My ego. This is not spiritual. This is carnal. My ego has a thing that if you repeat the same thing to me, even if it's over the course of a couple of days, I feel like you're talking down to me, like I'm so stupid I couldn't remember what you said. That's a real thing for me and my ego. So, and I wasn't attacking my wife, but I said, this is like the third time you've said this to me, and I'm really wondering why, and I probably have the same exact scowl on my face right there. And she was like, okay, well, but because I'm feeling like you're not getting it, right? We talked about this last week, talked about it yesterday. And I was like, okay, but when we talked about it yesterday, you'd given me this information that I didn't have, and it changed my mind. And she's like, how would I know that? And I was like, oh, all right. I see where you're going with this. So we've got this thing that we do now called, I call them aha moments. And if we're in a conversation and she says something that changes my thinking or view or anything on a particular subject or whatever, I will say, hey, wait, I just had an aha moment. It kind of updates her when my thinking changes. And praise God, my spouse actually wants to know what I think. And sometimes, listen to me, unintentionally, sometimes we punish our spouse for actually caring. Why are you always asking me all these questions? Because they care. They want to share life with you. Don't be mad at them for that. Just let them know, hey, I'm so sorry it's not a good time for questions or it's too many right now. But man, thank you so much that you actually care. If you're not in a place to articulate your feelings or even talk about them, that's not a sin. It's totally acceptable. But you do have to communicate that much. So I'll say, oh, aha moment. I really didn't think of this. Or you kind of gave, not against me, but you gave an argument for this particular viewpoint. And I see that. And yeah, I'm kind of with you now. So super important to communicate when your thinking is updated or changed, whatever, so that your spouse can be with you. And so you'll avoid some of those things because sometimes, and again, don't do it with, you know, the scowl thing. Don't do that. But sometimes asking questions can be really powerful as long as it's done in the right spirit. Oh, I want to emphasize that a trillion times. You know, like something that bugs me, and I got to be honest that it bugs me. Like, hey, it was like third or fourth time over this last couple of weeks that you've said this, and that, right? That makes me feel like you feel like I'm a kid or I'm too stupid to understand, or I know you don't feel that way, but that's how my feelings react. And, oh, well, you didn't do anything with it. You've changed nothing. That makes me feel like you're not listening. Oh, okay. That's, as long as you can maintain the right spirit, that's a good conversation to have. And we had similar conversations. Prior to that, we'd had similar conversations like four or five times. It didn't really grow any fruit. But that particular one, even though we tried to communicate yet again, that particular one grew some fruit. It's like, oh, okay, now we have a new tool for communicating. So I want you to think about marriage like this. There's these two islands out in the ocean. And on this one is you, and on this other one is your spouse. And you two dramatically love each other and want to be together, but you're separated by an ocean of miscommunication, misunderstand, hurt feelings, and all that other stuff. So the only way you're going to get to each other is you're going to have to build a bridge to get to each other, to get over these complicated waters. And the greatest, there are some powerful bridge building tools. Number one, your own personal walk with God to strengthen your own spirit, renew the inner man daily, give you spiritual insights into your own life and the scriptures, your prayer life. These are powerful bridge builders. Another one is communication. Good communication tools will help build those bridges. And a lot of the things that you desire and the things you want to experience in marriage, you can, not everything, but you can if you'll build the bridge. And so much of what we're doing every day, trying to help our marriages to succeed, trying to get connected with the spouse who we think loves us, is build that bridge. And some days, right, we've been building the bridge for a couple weeks and it feels like we fall into the water and we're back to square one and super discouraged. And I've been there, if you've been there. And here's the thing. There is let this thought encourage you. There is no perfect answer. There is no perfect answer. It doesn't exist. Well, so what's the formula so this doesn't happen? There isn't one. You're going to have days where you just misunderstand each other, bad communication, bad spirit. You've spent time building this bridge and you fell off the edge of the bridge of the ocean. What do you do? Get back out, start building again. What other option do you have? You don't have another option, right? And I want to emphasize this. You may be the worst communicator on the whole planet. You may be the worst bridge builder on the whole planet. But I want to share this with you. You commit to letting your spouse know that I do love you, I do want to be married to you, and I want to keep building the bridge. Like if that's all you do in your whole marriage, it's not enough, but it's so much. Because what really destroys a spouse is when they're sitting on their island, wow, I'm about to get choked up, and they feel like my spouse doesn't want to even try to build a bridge to me. Few things you will do in the universe can hurt your spouse more than that thing right there. So yeah, you suck, you're a bad communicator, you're lazy, you're worthless, fine. But just let them know, I love you, I want to be married to you, and I want to keep trying to build the bridge. That's it, right? And that, if that's asking too much, you got to stop and check within because you're dealing with probably inner problems. And sometimes that happens to us, right? Depression comes and these other things and these storms, like hurricanes come and hit our islands. And we're not only not concerned about building bridges, we don't know where we're at. It happens. But we never survive life better than when we're connected. And dude, married life daily is building the bridge. There is no, we built the bridge and we've never had a problem since. That doesn't exist. Every day we're working on the bridge. And so it's super important. One of the things that can really tear down good bridge building to connection is making conclusions in your head based on information that you don't really have. We don't really know what the other person is thinking. We just have kind of things that we can derive. And you may be a good guesser about your spouse, but you can guess 90% accuracy, but the 10% you're wrong could destroy your marriage. So you cannot afford to guess. You need to know. And again, choose, if you're going to have a talk about these deep, deep things within the heart, if you're going to have this talk, choose a good time, right? Right? Oh, that was an awful day. Man, I have a headache. Yeah, can we talk? Can I have a burrito first? I mean, be careful about picking those times, right? Picking those times. And just, hey, got all these problems, got all this stuff. That's fine. But you want to keep rolling the bridge? Because I do. Still love you. I'm out there. My feelings, whether you understand them or not, they're off in the distance. But I want to build that bridge. I want to get to you and there you go. I think we'll be done.